gracious great balls of fire. Kiss me, baby.
Goodness gracious great balls of fire. For the past 25 years, musician Daryl Davis has sought out and befriended members of the Ku Klux Klan. Many of the KKK members he's met have never met a black person before. The members he's talked out of the hate group have given him their old robes and hoods. In the PBS documentary Accidental Courtesy, cameras follow Davis as he ventures across the country, from the Deep South to Los Angeles to the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Davis says that typical discussions of race bore him compared to his drive to understand real hate.
Well, I realize that, you know, that the KKK is here in our country, and they are as American as baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolet. They are a part of our history. It's a shameful part of our history, and rather than try to hide it, I think it needs to be addressed, and I'm willing to take it face on, as some people are not, because, you know, they're fearful of it.
Did you ever have just pure curiosity about the KKK? You know, like, I hate them, they're scary, they're awful, but I wonder what it's like being around those guys. I mean, did you ever feel that way?
No. The way I felt was, because I've been exposed to so many different cultures. You know, I grew up as a child of parents in the U.S. Foreign Service, so I spent a lot of time overseas, you know, in Africa and Europe. And so I was constantly around different cultures, races, ethnicities, etc. So I just considered the Klan to be another culture. And my curiosity came from, how can you hate me when you don't even know me? And that was what I was experiencing. So I wanted to find out the answer to that. And what better way to find out than to ask somebody who would join an organization whose whole premise is hating those who do not look like them or who do not believe as they believe.
But as a Diplo brat, which is what you are.
Exactly.
I mean, is this a form of diplomacy, kind of what you're doing here?
You know, diplomacy does come into it because, you know, that's how I grew up. You know, my father's job was going to foreign countries and bettering relations with foreign countries and the U.S. government. So I absorbed, you know, the techniques and things like that. And I employed some of these things subliminally, I guess, you know, around these people, and it became effective. I developed a lot of friends. I developed people who ended up leaving the Klan. Now, of course, you know, I know everyone that I meet is not going to leave the Klan, and there will be some who will go to their graves being hateful, violent, and racist. But, you know, if you can change one person, you can change a generation. And I never set out to convert anybody. I just set out to find out, how can you hate me when you don't even know me? And in the process of trying to get the answer to that question, they discovered things about themselves that led to the answer being, they can't hate me. You know, we found more things in common than we did in contrast. And as you find more in common, a relationship is built. And as that relationship is built, a friendship is forged. And then they began shedding, you know, not only their ideology, but also their robes and hoods, which I happen to own.
Now, there's a part in the film where you encounter some Black Lives Matter folks and try to explain what it is that you're doing, and it seems as though they're giving you a lot of pushback.
So you believe that nobody can change?
No, I believe the wrong people can change.
What do you mean the wrong people can change?
White supremacists can't change.
You don't believe they can change?
White supremacists can't change, but I can change your mind because you look like me. You ain't doing nothing but collecting something that's going to build your own credibility. You're nothing but a pimp in a pulpit.
And you're nothing but ignorant.
Where does that disparity come from, and how are you feeling at the time of that conversation?
You know, I understand the outrage and the rage about what's happening, you know, the racism in our country. I understand the anger behind it, but my idea is not to confront it with violence and anger and reciprocate hatred, and I oppose that. I'm not saying that all Black Lives Matter people do that, because they don't, but there's no excuse for violence or hatred or not being able to sit down at a table and talk with someone.
Give me a KKK name of someone who you either liked or found particularly memorable, interesting.
Well, the late Frank Ancona, who was the Imperial Wizard, which means national leader. He was the national leader of the largest Klan group in this country.
Daryl had been interviewed by different media personalities. He actually came to the defense of the traditionalist American Knights on a couple things.
While I don't necessarily agree with his separatist ideology, I consider Frank Ancona to be a friend of mine. Actually, I consider him to be a very good friend of mine. And he was just murdered just a few days ago.
How did you feel about that?
I feel terrible about it.
Did you ever feel in danger?
Yes, you know, when I was in danger. I mean, there have been times when I had to fight and put somebody in the hospital or put somebody in jail just to protect my, you know, my own well-being. I've been threatened before, but fortunately, those times have been few and far between.
You have mentioned that you sometimes feel safer talking to the KKK than with members of the police.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, when you see a robe and a hood and people telling you, you know, to your face, you know, where they're coming from and what they believe, there's no reason to doubt them. But, you know, when you see someone in a uniform with a badge and a gun, you only know what they are supposed to stand for, not necessarily what they do stand for. And, you know, one's perception is one's reality. And I don't want to paint the police, you know, with a broad brush either, because there are many decent, honest cops, but there are many who are not. And that's very unfortunate. You know, if you were to ask 10 of your white guy friends this question, say to them, what would be the first thing that goes through your mind if you're driving home late at night, 2 o'clock in the morning from a date or your night shift or whatever it is you're on, and you see those lights flashing in your rearview mirror, obviously you're being pulled over, what's the first thought that goes through your mind? I'll guarantee you 10 out of 10 of them are going to say, I hope I don't get a ticket. I hope my insurance doesn't go up. I hope I don't get points on my license. And you pose that same question to 10 of your black male friends, I'll guarantee you 10 out of the 10 of them are going to say, I hope I don't get shot. I hope I don't get beat up. You know, they're not worried about the insurance or the ticket. They're worried about their life.
With your experience all around the world and growing up as a son of a Foreign Service officer, have you thought of graduating from talking to the KKK to talking to, say, Boko Haram?
People have asked me about that, too. Would those techniques work? I believe they would work. You know, but it takes someone who has studied and knows the ins and outs and the ideology of Boko Haram in order to do that. I have studied extensively on white supremacy, black supremacy, and that kind of thing, which has enabled me to sit down and have conversations that have been effective. Unless I would study Boko Haram, I would not be effective in doing it.
If you ever do open up a museum, how many robes and hoods do you have so far?
I've got about 30 now, and I keep getting them, and I will continue to get them. But, you know, it's not just robes and hoods. I have a lot of other Klan and neo-Nazi paraphernalia, you know, that will go inside the museum.
Daryl Davis, it's been a delight. Musician, speaker, author, subject of the film Accidental Courtesy, Daryl Davis, Race and America. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
You can watch the film online. Visit the Independent Lens site on PBS.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.